Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. I have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. The first is, if you are a woman of the church, the Women's Association is going to have a very brief meeting directly after church in the library. They have one item on their agenda. They just are going to vote on it. So if you can stay for about 10 minutes, they would really appreciate it. I'm sure you noticed as you were coming in this morning that we have an Eagle Scout that is working on weeding and putting some new plants and stuff along the area, kind of along the walkway to come into the church and by McFadden. And if you are able to make a financial donation to help him offset the cost of some of those plants and mulch, you can put it in an envelope and then just write like plants or mulch on it, and we'll make sure that it goes to the scout. Please put your name on it so you get credit. Next Sunday, August 8th, I will be on vacation, but Reverend White will be here to fill the pulpit while I'm not here. So please plan on attending. He is a very gifted preacher and worship leader, and I know that you all will really enjoy having him here. August 29th is going to be our church picnic. We'll have it directly after church on that day. On the back table, we have some sign-up sheets if you are able to bring food or you're able to contribute something for the basket raffle or something along those lines. If you have any questions, please see BJ. Final announcement, which is also kind of a prayer request. Lynn Garvey, our secretary, has come down with a really nasty case of bronchitis. So that is why we don't have bulletins this morning, because she was pretty sick last week. If you could keep her in your prayers, I talked to her this morning. She is home and recovering, but she's still not feeling super great. So keep her in your prayers. Any other announcements? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, We Are God's People.
Thank you.
with me now in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love. In Jesus Christ, amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us wave to one another. Good morning. Good morning. Please be seated for our anthem. Thank you. pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the gift of eternal life, won for us through your Son. We pray that in these trying days and trying times, you would remind us of the hope we have in Jesus. At this time, we lift up to you our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Bev Ruby's brother-in-law, Wayne, as he is battling bacterial pneumonia. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that Mike's son, Joshua, is home from the hospital. We pray that you would be with him as he continues to recover from COVID. Lord, we lift up to you those who are facing particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you would be with Cody Carson as he leaves for Army boot camp next Sunday. We pray for safe travels for him and that you would keep him mentally and physically safe. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we are all tired of living with COVID. We are particularly tired of hearing of this new variant that is at work among us. Lord, we continue to pray that all who are able and eligible would be vaccinated. We pray that this new Delta variant does not complicate plans for safe return of in-person school for our young people who are not yet eligible. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we thank you that Joshua is home from the hospital and can recover there. Lord, we thank you that Lynn does not have COVID, but that you would be with her as she recovers from her bronchitis. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us remain seated for our hymn of preparation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Thank you. friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering.
Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the one, the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is a reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I really love watching the Summer Olympics. I was super sad when the games had to be postponed last year due to the pandemic. It feels extra special that they're even able to happen at all right now with everything going on in the world. My favorite sport to watch is women's gymnastics. I couldn't wait to watch my girl, Simone Biles, arguably the greatest female gymnast of all time, add more gold medals to Team USA. Biles had a little bit of a rocky start in qualifiers. Usually confident and steady, she looked kind of scared and unsure of herself. But I figured, oh, it's probably just nerves. After all, the entire world is watching her perform. There's a lot of pressure on her to do well, especially after the year we've all had. I woke up on Tuesday morning with this breaking news text on my phone that Biles had withdrawn from team competition after her warm-up. I woke up the next day, Wednesday morning, to a text that she had withdrawn from individual competition as well. What makes the greatest female gymnast of all time withdraw from the Olympics? Biles had come down with a case of the twisties. In gymnastics, the twisties are when all of a sudden you can't do a twist that you've done thousands of times before in practice. Your brain loses track of where your body is in the air, and you only realize where the ground is when you smack into it. The twisties are really dangerous in gymnastics. All it takes is one bad landing to leave a gymnast paralyzed for the rest of her life. Now, when news broke here in the States that Biles had withdrawn from competition, the internet lost its mind. Many people came out in support of her decision, prioritizing her health over this competition. But there were many people who were just mean to her. What do you mean she isn't ready to compete? It's the Olympics, get it together. You're supposed to be the greatest gymnast of all time and you can't handle the pressure. As I sat with Biles' decision to withdraw from the Olympics, I realized that this is actually a really great example of what discernment looks like in our normal, kind of everyday lives. Discernment is how we figure out what kind of life is a fitting response to all that God has done for us in Jesus. And in our scripture reading for this morning, the writer focuses on two types of discernment, calling and what he calls grown-up faith. Calling is what we do with our lives in response to what God has done for us in Jesus. I like to think of calling as twofold. It's where our greatest joy, or the things that we really like to do, meet the world's greatest need, or provides something that the world needs right now. Calling is twofold because calling is both what we do, but it's also who we are. As Presbyterians, we also think of calling in twofold language. So we think about it in terms of our relationship with God, but we also think about it in terms of our relationship with our neighbors and our community. All this is to say is that we believe what we do with our lives really matters because it bears witness to who we believe God to be. Because God is active in creation, we know that God uses people to make sure that creation is fed and comforted and educated, for example. As I've grown up, I've realized that some of us have more visible callings than others. Some of us will be called to do things like preach or teach or nurse or even be Olympic gymnasts. I call these visible callings because it's a little bit easier to explain how our gifts and talents translate into direct service in our communities. Other people have maybe a little bit less visible callings. These are the folks who are called to be pinch-hitting babysitters, or volunteer Cub Scout leaders, or the person on the other end of the phone helping seniors register for online vaccine appointments. What I love about the letter to the church in Ephesus is that it reminds us that all callings are necessary to sustain the body of Christ, but some callings are a little bit more visible than others. Grown-up faith is what we need to live into our callings. I think grown-up faith is the maturity to act beyond gratifying our own immediate needs. As children, we act based on what's popular or fun or what feels right in the moment. Adults act with discernment. They're able to put other people's needs above their own. They're able to do hard things for the good of their families and communities. Grown-up faith is when we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. The more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that Biles withdrawing from the Olympics is an example of grown-up faith. I am absolutely certain that she really wanted to compete in the Olympics this year. Discernment is saying, I really, really want to compete, but mentally I'm struggling and I'm having trouble focusing, so I'm going to withdraw, because at the end of the day, this is just the Olympics. It's better for me to withdraw now than to be wheeled out of here in a stretcher. Plus, so many young girls are looking to me as their role model, and I want them to learn that it's okay to step away from something if you don't feel good. Friends, our scripture reading for this morning invites us to consider what God is calling us to and what discernment we need to do to live a life worthy of that calling. Now, not all of us are going to be called to be Olympic gymnasts, where every news outlet in the world is going to have an opinion about our discernment. But all of us are called to figure out what kind of life God is calling us to. So let's say, for example, you feel that God is calling you to take the lead on caring for our church building. The problem is you're not really sure what all is involved in caring for our building. So maybe you start by taking a walk every day so that you feel a little bit better about tackling the physical challenges that come with caring for an aging building. Maybe you ask around to your friends or people that you work with and see if any of them are caring for an older building. Maybe they're restoring an old house. Maybe they're kind of going through something similar to what you're going through. And maybe you ask them, hey, when you were beginning to do this, what worked for you? And what kind of catastrophes did you discover along the way that I might avoid? Finally, maybe you sit down with a pen and paper and you make a list of all of the projects that you foresee needing to happen in this building you're caring for. And maybe you start to kind of prioritize the list, like what immediately needs to be attended to, what would you like to get to, and then kind of what are your hopes and dreams if you could get these things done. Friends, the temptation in church circles is to idolize calling while at the same time downplaying the continual discernment that must happen if we are to live into our callings. Just because you feel called to be an elder for example, does not mean that from time to time you won't need to reevaluate what it means for you to serve the church in this time and in this place. Sometimes your discernment will lead you to places and spaces that you never imagined you would go. And sometimes discernment will ask you to be faithful to work you've been doing for years, like chairing the Buildings and Grounds Committee in our church. But friends, wherever our discernment leads us, we know that it is God who does the calling. We know that God has a plan and God has a purpose for our lives. And we will spend our lives looking and listening for how we can get in on God's plan. Sometimes that plan will ask us to withdraw from the Olympic Games at the height of our career. Sometimes that plan will mean serving on a different committee, depending on what the church's needs are in that moment. But friends, we know we can do these things because God calls us, because Jesus goes out ahead of us, preparing the way, and because the Spirit walks alongside us always. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, we're going to remain seated for our communion hymn. It is number 537, When at This Table. friends. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and they gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise and join with me for our closing hymn, We Are One in the Spirit. Before we go, let me offer a word of blessing. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.